What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome in episode 418, After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. A reminder, if you want to reserve your fan cave at Seneca Niagara Casino to watch March Madness, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com. It'll be a bit of a different show today, Thomas, with Riv being here.
Yeah, old man's back in the saddle. I'll just relax and listen.
I almost sent you a soundbite yesterday. He spoke on something for about 2 minutes, and it was really good.
I don't know. I feel like I listened to it. I don't remember anything that good.
Oh my God.
Besides the commercials.
The commercials are getting good.
They're getting good.
Greg, you're awfully quiet over there.
No, I'm listening to you like I did, 2 weeks ago, and it's like I'm taking my morning nap, human Ambien. Go ahead, keep talking. I was almost
human Ambien.
Off
you can't there. Use that. That's my name for Brian Watt on the NHL Network.
That's true.
Hey, when I need to sleep at night, I put on the NHL Network, listen to Dave Reed or Brian Lott, and I'm fucking out cold 15 minutes. Honestly, they're better than NyQuil, these guys. All right, Lindy Ruff got fired. Speaking of NyQuil.
Yeah. That seems to be the trend of this NHL season, right?
Lots of coaches, right? Yes. Why are we seeing more and more coaches have shorter leashes to, you know,
expectations?
The expectations are higher.
Are way higher, right? I mean, last year the Devils make a great run with a young team and everyone expects them, they're in line to win the Stanley Cup automatically. Yeah. I mean, you guys know it doesn't work like that. Your team can be good on paper, but till the season starts, you just don't know how it's going to go. And the Devils have struggled. They've struggled with some injuries. They've struggled, I think, on the back end. They've struggled in goaltending.
And so again, why are you firing Lindy Ruff when your record is 30-27-4, you're over 500?
Players got him fired, Craig. The players got him fired. Jack Hughes said in an interview before Lindy pulled the goalie and didn't put anybody on the ice. That to me was surprising. But before he even did that, Jack Hughes said, we're in need of an attitude change around here. And you're not going out and bringing in one new player or two players to change the attitude of the team. You know where you're going with that, and you know exactly what that meant. That was a direct shot at the coach, and a week later, he's fired. So players, as we know, can get coaches fired in this league.
Nowadays, yes. I think when we played, I think the coaches had a lot more to say. I mean, it just is what it is. I think coaches used to have a lot more power. If they didn't like a guy, instead of the coach going, I think the player would be traded. Now it's the opposite. Now, these guys are all in long-term deals, making money. I think they just have a lot more power.
It was interesting that I read something yesterday after Lindy got fired. And they're talking about the longest standing coaches currently in the NHL. Did you guys read that? Do you know where Don Granato sits on the list?
Well, he's got to be in the top half for sure, because I feel like the last 2 years there's been 20 coaches changed. He's probably top 10.
He's sitting at 6 right now. Mm-hmm. I think he's sitting at 6. I'm not, don't quote me on that. Believe me, but I think he's 6. John Cooper, Mike Sullivan, Jared Bednar, Rod Brendamore were 4 that were up there. And then, you know, once you start to kind of go through all the different coaches in the league, you realize that there's a lot of new coaches. You know, Philadelphia, the Rangers, you know, Boston, you know, it goes, yeah, everywhere. It seems like, there's been a lot of coaching changes in the last number of years. And I think Don Granato's sitting in the upper third in the league for longest standing coach with the with an organization. So, again, it just goes back to, you know, I sit there and I think to myself, you know, like why has Don Granato been able to hold on this long?
Because he's cheap. Because he's an inexpensive experiment, like I said 2 years ago, but I got shit on for that. And guess what? Well, it was an inexpensive experiment. It was great for a short period of time. And now here we are. Sorry. That's all I have to say about it. The entire coaching staff and goaltending on the Buffalo Sabres this year, they're all their salaries and all both goaltenders total. What fucking the guy's making in New York?
I will go back to this again, and this is a debate that we could have till we're blue in the face, but I feel that Don Granato has not been properly given the right team to compete.
But Donnie's okay, because we were talking Lindy Ruff, and now we are talking Sabres. And and it went from coaching, and how does Donnie still have a job? And we know why Donnie has a job, because everyone here is safe. The owner's not making changes. So to elaborate on the Lindy Ruff conversation,
shouldn't be making changes.
The owner makes a decision.
It's not his
job to make changes. Well,
the GM makes
changes.
The owner's
running the team, Craig. That's why Skinner's on a fucking $9 million contract. All right, let's just leave it at that. What's Lindy Ruff going to do now? That's the question. Is he done? Because he's a little older. I would love to see him come to Buffalo in a president of hockey ops role or a hockey ops role in some capacity. I don't think he's done in hockey, but I think maybe his time behind the bench has expired.
I would have to agree with that. I think Lindy is a hockey lifer, as we know. I do think he's probably done coaching, but you never know, right? We're talking about all these coaches getting fired, but they always get, or 90% of them always get rehired, right? Because obviously they are all good coaches. Just sometimes, it's always easy to blame the coach. That's the quickest fix to kind of bring in a new voice and hopefully jumpstart something and save a season. But that same coach is going to get rehired next season again. So is there a chance that Lindy could be back? I think that's up to him. I think we do know he signed just this year a 2-year extension. So, you know, he's got that to sit on for the next 2.5 years and probably decide what he wants to do.
Banner, we were having a conversation about how that works. Let's just say hypothetically that another organization was interested in Lindy Ruff.
Mm-hmm.
How does that work for... Let's just say Colorado Avalanche wants to bring him in as a hockey ops person, someone that can help Joe Sakic, this and that. How does that work with his salary? Because he has 2 years after this year, correct?
Yep, correct.
So how does that work if they want to hire him as a hockey ops person? What happens with his salary?
I believe the way it works is, first of all, New Jersey has to give him permission to even... allow him to speak for another opportunity because they're the ones paying him.
Okay.
And if they do allow him and he takes the job wherever, there's a certain salary. I don't know. What does a hockey op guy make? Let's make it up. Let's say it's $1 million.
Okay.
So if the Devils agree on that he can go there and get paid $1 million by Colorado, and he makes, what does he make in Jersey?
Let's say, $3 million.
Yeah. Then the Devils owe him $2 million and the Colorado Avalanche pay him $1 million.
Gotcha.
So either way, he's getting $3 million, however you slice it.
Yes. So it's not like players, right? Where you can get bought out and then actually sign somewhere else and make more. So that's why most teams do allow, obviously, the coach, you know, or their fired coach to talk to other teams because, you know, it relieves salary off their own. But at the same time, I would not be shocked if he's done coaching. I mean, he's done this for a long time.
Yeah, he's 64.
I could definitely see him doing a Barry Trotz, right? Take some time away, maybe wait for the right opportunity and be more of a front office. I don't know if that's a GM or more of a hockey ops or, you know, there's a lot of new titles in this league.
But I could see Lindy, though. What is a hockey ops guy in this league? Like, we know what a GM does. GM has to, he has to worry about not only the product that's on the ice. He's not only dealing with the coaching staffs. He's dealing with players individually. He's dealing with the scouting staffs. He's dealing with the people inside the office. He's dealing with a lot of things other than just what the product on the ice. What is a hockey ops person? I've always thought about this. Like, what is the hockey ops? Is he the guy that's just solely dealing with the coaches, dealing with the players, watching every single practice, watching other teams on the road? Like, what is that title? What is a hockey ops person? What does he do?
That's a good question. I think it's whatever you make it to be, right? I have no idea. Is a hockey ops, is he more of a middleman between the owner and the GM? Does he do more of, on the business side as well? Probably not. I don't think so. I think the hockey ops is more of, same
it's
as purely president.
Hockey.
Just purely hockey. And you're kind of, you probably do more of the hiring. You hire probably the scouts, the people you want to bring in.
Is that the hockey ops or would that be the GM who's dealing with the scouts? Because the GM needs to deal with the minors. He needs to deal with all the prospects. He needs to deal with the upcoming draft. He needs to deal with, the people that are inside the circle of trust, the people that work in the offices. The hockey ops, wouldn't he be the person that is around the coaches, around the players, watching on the road, figuring out, saying, I think we are missing something here.
Well, that's the GM. That's a GM. I think a GM is the one who's got to have a pulse on the coaching staff and the players. I see it opposite. I think the hockey ops guy, he should worry about the scouting department and this because that's who, if I'm a GM, right? I mean, yes, you have communication out of your scouts, but ultimately your scouts are the ones who are traveling, doing the job, and it's their day, and you hope they do a great job. So, to me, the best GMs that I've had, they were around the room. They were around the planes. They had a pulse on the team. To me, as a hockey ops guy, I don't think he needs to be around as much as a GM. I think then you have...
Okay. So I had them reversed.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Still very much.
Craig, I think what you're thinking of is like director of player personnel. Director of player personnel is someone like Don Luce was around the boys all the time. And when the Sabres got rid of Don Luce, things changed, Thomas. I don't know if you remember Don Luce. I mean, he was kind of the start of your time.
Oh, I remember Don. He's great. He's one of
the
best.
The start of your time. And Don Luce was around. And no matter how things were going, he knew when players weren't playing well, but he knew how to talk to guys. He knew how to help them get out of funks. He knew what to say. He related to them on the player level. He empathized with them. He sympathized for them. But then he also gave it to you a little bit too, told you to get your head out of your ass, held you accountable for things. He was always around. That was the most, in my opinion, that was the most crucial role for all you young guys, myself included, Millsy, Pominville, Vanek. He drafted you, Thomas.
Yeah, I know.
Like everyone gives Darcy Regier credit and everything for drafting and then the director of the director of scouting now, but Don Luce was the guy out there watching these players.
Oh, for sure. I mean, and that's what I mentioned earlier. A GM should never get credit for draft picks. A GM should get credit for hiring the right people, right? And trusting those guys, but it's their job to draft. Ultimately, it's a reflection to the GM because you're the ones who hired these people. But the day of the draft, does the GM have an input? Of course, he's got an input on your first and second round pick because those are the players that everyone knows. But the third round on, most GMs, they don't go to the Western League and they'll go in the Western League and then watch the best prospects, but not all the depth guys.
Yeah, Lindy Ruff isn't going to go from head coach to director of player personnel. That's a very specific role, and I don't think he has the personality
who,
for it.
Who is that at the Sabres?
There isn't one. They do not have a director of player personnel, in my opinion. And you can't call the skill development guys, you know, your Tim Kennedys, the Adam Mayers, your directors of player personnel. They're player development. It's a separate title.
Correct.
Yeah, you need a player, director of player personnel. Someone, it's all like it's someone that is in between the GM, coach, and the players that really has a pulse on the team.
You can never surround yourself with enough good people, with good hockey people, right? The more you have around, the deeper of an organization, the more trust you're going to build something good. So I can definitely see, Lindy doing that. And who knows? I mean, I know he's really good friends with the GM in Jersey. So, you know, a lot of these, I think Greg Berube, who got fired by the Blues, I think he's still doing things for the Blues.
He's really close with Terry Pegula. The Sabres need him. I'm to be honest with you. Like, he came from the Rangers. He had success in New Jersey. Came from Dallas. He's been around.
Why do you say they need him? Just because he was a longtime coach there?
I think Lindy Ruff is brilliant. I might have had my beefs with him as a coach with how he treated my teammates more than the way he treated me. But he's a brilliant hockey mind. I think he's got a ton of respect. I think the style of game that he wants his teams to play is exactly kind of the switch that the Sabres need. And I'm not sure if that necessarily has an impact directly into the style of play. But, I mean, he and Kevin Adams, who coach together, by the way, could always have a good conversation about that.
Yeah, but I still don't understand. Why do you say he would be good for the Sabres? Just because he's got history with the Sabres?
I think he'd be good for a lot of teams. I think familiarity more than anything. Familiarity, knowing that he cares about the franchise, cares about the team, cares about the city. I think that does matter. Like, you're not just hiring some guy that's coming from the Los Angeles Kings to come east and save the day. You're bringing a guy back who is very familiar with the franchise, the city, kind of everything I just mentioned.
Yeah.
And has a good rapport.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I think sometimes, you know, just like you make – oh, this would be a great fit because he was there before. Sure, I mean, that does matter. He knows how to relate to the city, but that shouldn't matter at all.
That's not my thought at all. I don't care what Lindy Ruff did in the past. I know that Lindy Ruff coached here for what? What was it, 13 years? 14 years?
Yeah.
I don't care what he did in that time here in Buffalo. I know the fans here in Buffalo respect Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff respects the fan base. He loves Buffalo. Okay.
Absolutely.
And that's not why I'm bringing him back. It's not why the Nashville Predators, after a gazillion years, very much like Lindy Ruff, it's not like the Nashville Predators. They went and got Barry Trotz because he has the hockey mind. He has seen different generations. He's different generations. Different types of players, okay, dealing with these different players, and also just understanding the entire league, understanding power plays, understanding penalty kills, understanding every single team that has little subtleties in their specialty teams and how they play. Lindy Ruff knows all these things. He also knows every single player in the National Hockey League because he plays them and he sees them and they talk about them. And I think Lindy has a wealth of knowledge. I'm not asking Lindy to come out in here and be president or GM. I'm asking, like, if there was an available Lindy Ruff at 64, who I don't think he's old. I don't think he's old in the game. I think that he has a wealth of knowledge. He started coaching in this league when he was 38 years old. And now what he has gathered over all of these years is something that I think the Sabres could utilize and have him be a voice. Kevin Adams is always going to be the one making the decisions. It's his gig, along with Jason Karmanos. They're the 1-2 punch. Okay. The reality is Lindy Ruff has a wealth of knowledge. And when I see a person like him that would love to live here back in Buffalo again, I think I just look at how can this team get better? We're talking about what do they need to do on the ice? What do they need to do in goal? What do they need to do on the defense? How do they fix the power play penalty kill? I'm not asking Lindy Ruff to come in and do that. I'm asking him to bring his hockey mind so he can give opinions.
Well, you get him on the payroll, and then after, when you have to let Don Granato go, either next year or whenever it is, he can step in as your interim guy, kind of like the guy in Ottawa there who's like everyone's grandfather.
I'm going to tell you this. I want Don Granato to have a fair shake with a competitive hockey team.
All the points you made about Lindy, I don't disagree with any of them, but I'm saying there's a lot of people who have knowledge. You can surround yourself with this. Does he have more knowledge than a lot of other people? Of course, because he's been in the business for 30 years, right? But at the same time, with all this knowledge, why didn't it work in Jersey? Like, I'm sure you said that he knows the game, like, and he needed different players or this. Was it his failure? Was it the GM's failure? Like, what went wrong there? They have a great team, right?
Like, I'm going to tell you, I think that was the GM. Lost those two defensemen, didn't get a goalie, signed that fucking dud from San Jose.
1,000%, Petey.
That's the GM. The GM, Lindy Ruff is the fucking scapegoat. I bet his frustration with the moves that the GM made took a toll. And
they needed a goaltender, and they knew it. They didn't go out and get it. And their goaltending has been shit all year. They missed two of their top four defensemen, two guys that were incredible shutdown defensemen. They bring in the young kid.
Who was it? It was Graves and
incredible
Severson?
Skater. He's beautiful. He's like a ballerina. Guess what? He's going through growing pains. But the other kids that they got rid of last year were not going through growing pains. They were locked down, tough defensemen. They miss grit. They miss Miles Wood. And Miles Wood was playing on their third and fourth line last year. And everyone's like, who? Miles who? Well, you know what? He was a big part of that team because he added speed, energy, grit, physicality, and chipped in with some goals. And then all of a sudden they go and sign Timo Meier, pay him $8.8 million. And he's been soft. He's been shit. And Lindy's had to sit him because he's not performing. So is this Lindy Ruff or is this the GM bringing, not making the right moves?
Well, it's always both, right? Because, I mean, look at the guy in Edmonton. What's his name that got fired early in the year?
Yeah.
Woodcroft.
Yep.
Like he's a good coach. He came in last year and took that team to the playoffs. Right. And then what happened this year? It's a bad start because the goaltenders can't save a puck. New voice comes in and all of a sudden the goalie plays better. So
that's because they played at the other end of the ice. Connor McDavid had an extremely slow start. Is that the coach? Was that Woodcroft? No, that's on Connor McDavid.
Yes and no, right? Because you're not inside these rooms and saying, what is he trying to figure out a new system that doesn't work all of a sudden? Is he coaching a different? So there is some to it, right?
Connor, don't blow the zone so early. Fuck you.
Right. that's just it, right? Like it's there is something to coaching changes. They do bring in a different voice, a different system, and it's gonna benefit some guys and some guys it won't benefit, right? It's just so there's definitely something to it, but
yeah.
In this case, I mean, a lot of times you look at the LA coach, he's a great coach.
I want to go back to something you said, Craig, about coaching and the Sabres. I just sent you guys a video in your text messages. Have a look at it. And tell me if I'm out of line. Okay. And for those listening, what these guys are both looking at the exact same time is during the timeout the other night versus the Winnipeg Jets. Someone called me yesterday and they're like, is this team for real? Do they actually give a shit about winning? And I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, go look at the timeout when Marty Wilford's trying to talk to all the players. You got fucking Mittelstad looking in the stands. You got Power Dahlin looking down. You got maybe one guy paying attention. And you got friggin' Marty Wilford's like looking at him going, hey. And then you go over to the other bench where you got Scotty Arneal and you got guys in a little horseshoe all bundled up nice and tight, ready to shut down and lock a game up. I don't know if I'm stretching on this one, but it just looks to me like one team who's the top of the West looks dialed in, and the other team at the bottom of the East looks completely lost. So it looks like the tale of two tapes there. What do you think, Craig? What'd you see? Am I stretching? Am I stretching it?
When you watch the video, you have the Winnipeg Jets coach, who I actually played for. I can't remember his name.
Same. We all did. Scotty Arneil.
Scotty Arneil, who's been a head coach in this league, okay, and is now obviously doing a very good job in Winnipeg. And when he's explaining at the end of the game with 1 minute left, you have all five players looking directly at him.
And the board.
And when you go back to what you're discussing with the Sabres, you have Marty Wilford, who's basically writing up what he wants, and you have a multitude of players that look like they're disinterested and kind of
looks like kindergarten class. Looks like kindergarten class. It's like you're trying to read a book to kids that have fucking toys in their hands.
Yeah. Well, are we pulling? Trying to pull things out of a hat here, or is this something that is a concern? I don't know.
I'm just asking. The optics don't look good. Someone pointed this out to me. I didn't notice.
To me, it's who? What is there? 1 minute left, I think.
Yes.
So Winnipeg Jets are trying to defend and hold the lead, like you said, Petey. They clearly know which five guys those are. The video to me looks like on the other side, on the Buffalo side, is they're kind of scrambling and trying to even figure out which six guys are going to be sent out there.
Maybe.
Correct. Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Maybe it looked like there's a bunch of guys huddling to me. And I've been in those, right? And it's as a coach, it's not easy because those are the things you can't plan ahead for, right? Like you have your plays. Like even now when I'm coaching, I have my 6-on-5 plays for the end of the game. But I don't have my six players because I think
circumstantial. You could have just had guys out there grinding with an empty net. Yeah,
understood. And other guys played a better game. The guys you expect to be there at the end of the game, they'll probably be out there. But there might be two other guys who played a great game.
The six players on the ice are Dahlin, Power, Mittelstad, Thompson, Tuck, Cousins or Skinner.
Cousins.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're scrambling to find out who's out or they're scrambling to figure out which play to run. Either way, it looked like they were scrambling.
Scrambling. Celino Law never scrambles. They're dialed right in. Someone stopped me and told me the other day, they're like, I listened to your show. You guys got Celino advertising. Guy told me they did a case for him. Said he was in a bad car crash, called Celino. Wasn't the eights, but called Celino at the time. He said they crushed it for them. So don't scramble like the Sabres do when they're trying to win a game. If you're hurt in a car crash and need a personal injury attorney, pick up the phone, call the eights, 888-888-8888. Car crash, call Celino.
All I can say this, Petey, number five was on the ice for Winnipeg. We've been talking about him for four years now.
He's a shitbag. He's a six defenseman goon. We don't need him. That's not what we need. That's what the analytics guys were saying. We don't need Brendan Dillon. We don't need Brendan Dillon.
He's locking her down at the end of the game.
Aren't working this year, boys. Your graphs aren't working. Back to the drawing board. Oh, fuck.
Gonna ruffle some feathers there.
Give a fuck. It's true. I think they're retiring the graphs. It's all I got. It's all I was wondering as I watched that game the other night against Winnipeg. Someone pointed that out.
You know what time of year it is? It's March Madness time, and I have two words for you. Hoops Hangout. Starting Thursday, March 21st through Sunday, March 24th, and Saturday, April 6th, it's the College Basketball Tournament Watch Parties at Seneca Niagara.
Catch college basketball tournament action with your friends during March and April in your one-of-a-kind viewing area at Seneca Niagara. To reserve your spot, go to SenecaNiagaraCasino.com.
Nothing else comes close.
I'll tell you what. I watched the Florida Panthers against the Rangers last night. I finally had an off night where we can have dinner as a family and just sit on the couch and not have hockey and just watch hockey. And I was excited to watch the game. Two reasons. Mad Rempe, like that kid made in the last 10 days, went from nobody knowing him to the whole league knowing him. Like, he must get more clicks than a Connor McDavid the last 10 days. And on the flip side, the Florida Panthers, they are just so fun to watch. That team, I hope they can stay healthy. I hope they can get Jake Guentzel at the deadline, and they're going to make a run because that is the best team in the league right now.
I would really like to just pat myself on the back because I don't think anybody thought that the Florida Panthers were going to be able to sustain what they did toward the end of the year last year after Heath Kachuk called the team out for being soft.
Yep.
To now going to the Stanley Cup Finals and being one of the best teams in the NHL. And at the start of the year, we did our predictions, and I think a lot of people didn't think they would be able to sustain what they did with the parity in the league and the improvements of other teams. I don't know what you said, Thomas. I don't know what you said, Craig, but I know what I said, and I thought Florida was going to be at the top of the standings.
Yeah,
I can't remember. Sorry, Rivs. I can't remember what I said, though, so long ago. I'm like, Rivs, I would have to re-listen.
I can't remember what you said, but you'll remember what Rivs says.
Well, just shit pops in my head, and I'm like, God, I remember this now. But Rempe, again, yesterday, the kid has a place in this game. The fighting, 100%. But I think he's fast. He can skate.
Is he worth a first-round draft pick?
I don't know about...
No, I'm not even joking, man.
Right.
I've already sent this to Mike Pekka.
It's an unrealistic conversation.
We'll give a first-round draft pick.
The Rangers would trade him.
Rivs, you're not crazy because if you're a team... I'm trying to like the Edmonton Oilers, right? They're on the cusp of winning. Would you be willing to part because you know it's a late first rounder for a kid like that? I think if he can continue to 10 games is not a lot of games. Or well, how many games has he played? 7, 8?
Yeah.
It's a small sample size.
Four fights, a goal, 2 points, and he's like +2.
Yeah. So it's a small sample, but if he can continue to do this and continue to bring this energy and get to pucks, get to forecheck at 6'8", 100%. I mean, what's the kid from Nashville that went for all these draft picks last year to Tampa?
Tanner Janot.
This is the same type of kid. You're giving up a first round pick not because of his skill set. Well, I shouldn't say skill set, because you're missing that in your lineup. You're not. So. I'm sure people are laughing. They're like, first round pick, Rivs is an idiot. But I agree with you. If your top six is set and skilled, and this kid can prove he can play like this, I mean, the Rangers aren't going to give him up. He's going to be a staple in their lineup, and he's going to be a force in the playoffs. I mean, his first couple steps are powerful for a guy who's 6'8". And
he's
21.
It's
amazing how people
old.
Say that toughness and fighting don't. Aren't important in the game, or they don't have a spot in the game anymore. But when you have Toronto go and sign Ryan Reeves, then you have Ottawa go and counter with a couple signings like the next day. Then you have Matt Rempe making a scene in the NHL with four fights or three fights in his first five games, four in his first 6, 7. And then what? And then the New Jersey Devils go and trade for Curtis McDermott, arguably the toughest player in the NHL. It's going to be interesting to just see if this stuff starts to slowly come back, because Matt Rempe is going to make it very difficult because no teams in the league really have a guy that can match him. So now you have to go and you have to bring somebody in that can maybe play to the same level, but also fight to the same level. And those players aren't,
you know what he's
anymore.
You know what he's a mix of? He's a mix of UPD and Patrick Kaleta. It's not the fighting to me. The fighting is great because he's going to back his teammates up and he's not going to obviously turn down anyone. Right, but the way he forechecks, you don't think these D's now when he's on the ice, they're gonna be like, oh my god, I gotta go back. I mean, Rivs, you know this. When you look over the shoulder and this kid can skate and he's coming at you,
yeah, it's brutal, like terrifying,
ain't fun.
Because you know you got to go back, you got to make a play. Yeah. Sometimes you got to take a hit, and I'm gonna take a hit from a guy who's 6'7", 240 pounds that can actually skate. That's dangerous.
And sometimes go and ask
Ilya Lyubushkin. Lyubushkin, when they played Toronto the other night, went into the corner, made a play, and in comes Rempe. And it's, you know, listen, I mean, it's borderline very dangerous. You have Lyubushkin is out in probably concussion protocol right now. This kid's dangerous. He's dangerous in a good way for the Rangers because he can really skate. He's got solid skills and he knows his role.
Absolutely.
And he's 21 years old. What is he going to be like when he's 25, when he gets the man strength, the real strength? I mean, this kid's going to be
I think on the ice, he won't be, he'll be the same player. The only thing with the man strength you're saying he might, what he's going to probably gain is probably become a better fighter. Right. But as far as the
I was a
product,
lot stronger at 25 and weighed more than I was at 21.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily translate into better hockey.
I think you're stronger. I think you're more powerful. This kid's got, he's very long and he's very lean.
Yeah.
And for him to not put on fat, but to continue to gain muscle, I think by the time he's 25 years old, he's going to be 250 pounds and he's still going to be as fast and as explosive, but he's going to be a lot more intelligent with the way that he does things.
Yeah,
I think at 21 years old, he's naive in the sense that everything, every game he's learning and taking things in, he's like a sponge. But the understanding that he understands his role is very important.
Oh, Hunter,
He's not being asked by Laviolette to go out and fight every night. He's there to be and play the game that he plays, which is he skates very well, he forechecks hard, he's defensively responsible, and if you've got a tough guy on the other side, believe me, that tough guy is going to be, he's going to be feared.
Even yesterday, he got a penalty that shouldn't have been a penalty. I think the kid, because he's so big, he's getting penalized for it. That Lyubushkin hit, I don't think that's a penalty. He makes five hard strides, damn plants his feet, and hits the guy. That hit against New Jersey, I think that's a good hit. I want to see the dirtiness out of the game, but I don't think that was dirty.
He did hit the kid, I think, as Bastion. Basin. He did hit the kid's head, but the argument is he has his arm tucked. He wanted to make a body check. The problem is he's 6'7". So it's like, what? I don't understand how he's supposed to make a body check without hitting the guy's head because he's so big.
Does Crosby finish in Pittsburgh? You know what made me think of this the other day, Thomas, was, reading about Lewis Hamilton leaving Mercedes and going to Ferrari. And I just thought, here's a guy who won 7 world championships and is now leaving to possibly try and win his 8th championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, I'm like, Michael Jordan played for the Washington Wizards. Forget about Gretzky. He played for multiple teams. But there are players that end up leaving. And the loyalty may be there, but there's no loyalty with Pittsburgh anymore. Lemieux's gone. All he has there is his history with them.
I think that team is it needs to retool. If I'm Crosby, I would want out of there. I would go to Kyle Dubas, give him one piece of paper and put the Colorado Avalanche on there and be like, I want to be there by Friday.
This year?
Really?
Look how well he's playing. It'll be a shame for him not to be in the playoffs.
He's one of the best players in the league right now.
He's one of the best players in the league.
No one's even paying attention to him.
But it's ultimately, I don't know Crosby well enough to, what I do know about him and heard about him. He's a loyal legacy guy. But at the same time, you got 3 years left, 4 years left, and his game is as strong as it is. You don't want to be in a rebuild. And that team needs a rebuild.
How long does he have, Vanner? He's 36 years old right now. He's got 63 points, 32 goals in 59 games. The guy is unheard of, okay?
Mm-hmm.
How long does he have in this game? You think he's got till he's 40?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's a Mark Recchi type of guy. He can play until he's 44 because of his smartness, the way he keeps himself in shape. But I think he's got three more years where he can be a 90-100 point guy on the right team with some support. I mean, he's doing this. I mean, him and Gensel are fantastic together. But he does a lot on his own too and makes players better. So
I really think this team stinks. I'm not even joking. Like, you know, Crosby's 36, Malkin's 37. You have Ricard Raquel's 30, Riley Smith, who's had a tough season's 32, Jeff Carter's 39, Lars Eller's 34, Noel Achari's 32. This is a very, very old team. You have Carlson 33, 36 is Chris Letang. Like, this is besides their top four guys who basically, and their top 2D, this is a team that is not deep in the bottom half of this roster. And that's kind of why, you know, when you look at Sidney Crosby's numbers, you're sitting there saying, well, how are they not doing better? It's because their bottom half of the roster is not very good.
But you know what and this team is, though? I do believe this team would be better in the playoffs because of all the experience they have. But the problem is you need to play 82 games at a high level to get to the playoffs. And I think when you're almost too old, like a lot of those guys are, 82 games is a lot. But if they somehow can find a way in, I think that's a dangerous playoff team because of all the experience they have.
Yeah.
And they know how to play the right way in the playoffs, but you got to get in. And that's a lot to ask for a team like that.
So what it like, if you're the GM of this team in Pittsburgh moving forward, like what after this season, let's just say they do not make the playoffs. What is the mindset of the GM moving forward?
I think he's had those conversations with all those guys. Here's where we're at. What is your plan, right? Probably not with Raquel or whatever, but, you know, he's having those with the Letangs, the Malkins, Crosby.
Jeff Carter. I mean, he won't be coming back anyway. He's 39. He's an unrestricted free agent.
Right, but
you don't think
I guarantee you those conversations.
I guess what I'm saying is at what point in time do you completely tear this thing down and move out Crosby, Malkin? You're not going to sign Jeff Carter. You're going to move out possibly Letang and Erik Karlsson.
Yeah, probably right now.
Well, I think those deals for these types of players are going to be summertime deals. It's just interesting to see if that's the direction that Pittsburgh wants to go, if they want to retool this whole thing.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I don't understand always the summertime moves. You don't think a team would want a Chris Letang right now?
I do.
Yeah. If teams will make it work if he's available. We'll see. I can't wait till Friday. I think it's going to be
he's got four more years after this year too. That's the tough thing. He's 36 years old. He's played a lot of hockey in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to be turning 37, and after this year he's got four more years at 6.1.
Yeah, but you know how it goes. If you're a team that needs to win in the next, and your window is 2 years, and he could give you 2 years, and then in year three, the old back is not holding up, where is he going to end up?
Yeah, long-term IR, yeah.
Long-term IR, baby. And the other team I'm anxious, as we were talking deadline here, is Carolina. I think Carolina has been in the mix, right? We have talked about them, how much we like watching them, but they need to. I mean, that's a team, you know, if that organization is, I would get Jay Gensel would fit in great on that team. Another scorer. That's what they always lack in the playoffs is the scoring. Will they finally make that move to get that score?
I think you're absolutely bang on there. That's exactly what they need. They need a player like him that is a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of good players. Don't get me wrong. They have a lot of good, they're very structured in Carolina. They're very, very well coached. They have some really good hockey players, but they're missing the dynamic score. You know, I know Sebastian Aho is fantastic, and Andrei Svechnikov is fantastic, but they're still missing, I think, that elite scorer. And I think Getze would be huge there, because they're right there. I think they can beat any team.
It's a team that nobody talks about, right? Because Florida's had this tremendous season, and it's a smaller market. We'll talk about them again in the playoffs, but right now they're just flying under the radar, and we all know Rod the Bot. They play the right way. They play hard, but they need that X factor, and he could be it.
That'll do it for today. Thanks for listening to After the Whistle, presented by Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. Nothing else comes close. Again, SenecaNiagaraCasinos.com for all the information on your Hoops Hangout for March Madness.